Praise the Lord. Today is the first Sunday. The first Sunday in July. Thank you. God bless you. First Sunday in July, and 6 months has gone by. We want to give our offering. Please, you have 4 envelopes with you. You have the offering envelope. You have the tithe envelope. You have the special offering envelope. And you have the building envelope. As the Lord will lay it on your heart, please, let's give bountifully unto the Lord. And if you are watching us online, all our brethren who are meeting in cell groups or in their individual houses, we welcome you to this service. We pray that the Lord will bless you. The Lord will also meet with you wherever you are in the diaspora, that you are watching us and listening to what is going on here today. Our prayer is that the presence of the Lord that is here will extend to you, and you will indeed be blessed. The Bible says that we should not be weary in giving. It says you do not know when the cloud will be full and rain will fall upon you. The Bible says if you watch the seasons, you may not sow. Therefore, I want to encourage you this morning not to be discouraged, but to sow. As you sow into God's kingdom, as you give willingly and cheerfully, as you give according to your capacity, the Lord indeed will bless you. Shall we have a song while the ushers quickly wait on us?
God, Elohim, and Adonai, you are the Holy God. Elohim, Elohim, Adonai, Jesus, you are the mighty God. Elohim, and Adonai, you are the Holy God. Elohim, Adonai, Jesus, you are the Holy God. Elohim, Adonai.
Offering online, I mean by transfer, the account is 920-154-9762. I want to repeat the account number again, 920-154-9762. The bank is Stanbic IBTC Bank. May the Lord bless you as you give bountifully and cheerfully unto the Lord in Jesus' name. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you for the givings of your children this morning. You have indeed been very faithful. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Lord, out of the much that you have given unto us, dear Lord, we've brought this little. We pray you accept it in the name of Jesus. God of heaven and earth, we pray that the remaining you will bless. Lord, that you provide for each and every one of us. Lord, that none of us will lack. The Bible says, in the time of famine, your people feed fat. We trust you, Lord, that during this time of pandemic, your people will feed fat. Lord, you will set our table with abundance, and your name alone shall be glorified. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Please, let's have our seats. Thank you very much. Today is the first Sunday in the month of July. And therefore, the first Sunday in the second half of the year. Has the Lord not been good? I want you to say the Lord is good. If you really mean it from your heart, please, can you say the Lord is good? And especially unto me. God indeed has been very good. The pandemic has been raging, but the Lord has kept us. The Lord has watched over us. In this assembly, we've not heard that anyone had caught the virus. The Lord has indeed shielded us. I want to read briefly from Psalm 147. He says, praise the Lord, verses 1 to 4. He says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them by their name. Great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. The Lord indeed has been very, very good. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never repay, but from our hearts we like to say that we thank you. Let's take it one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the grace that you have given to us, that we're able to appear before you today in your house. How amiable is your court? We are very grateful to you. Thank you also for all our members who are watching this program, who are listening, Lord, to this service in the diaspora, in our different homes, in our different cell groups, all members of New Covenant Church. We are very grateful to you. Thank you for preserving our lives. Thank you because you've shielded us from the pandemic. You've not allowed it to come near us. Thank you because you've provided for us. You've beautified our lives, decorated our lives, and give us your promise for the future, even during all this time when hearts are fainting. Lord, we come to say thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for the offerings, the tithes, all the willful giving of your people today. We bless the givings. We pray, O Lord, that you bless everyone who has given. Those who have given on that, bless them. Lord, we pray that none of us will lack. We ask, O God, that your hand will be rested upon us, that you will provide for us, that none of us, O God, will be in want. We trust you, Lord, to meet our needs. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. I want to bring the word of encouragement this morning, this short time that we have. Since the time that this pandemic started, we've heard severally about how we are to handle this time. How to handle these times. I remember we had a message that tells us that to be courageous, we are to save, we are to take precautions, all that the government, the experts, the scientists are telling us to do, we also should do it. And I want to reiterate that this morning. Please, if you are going out of your house, wear your face mask. Make sure you sanitize your hands, you keep your hands clean all the time. I did that before I entered this auditorium this morning. Also make sure you observe social distancing. Make sure you keep all the instructions. When you have done all, leave the rest to God to keep you and to watch over you. Why are we doing this? This morning I was greeting a beloved brother of mine, whom naturally I would have just hugged, but I couldn't hug him. We're in the house of God, but I couldn't hug him. My face mask was on. You see, I just put it down on my chin because I want you to hear me very clearly. But I couldn't hug him. I had to be giving him an elbow, and I say, God has to quickly lift this thing off the face of the earth. Why are we doing all this? It is because it is a difficult time. How do you handle these times? Today, I want to bring the word of exhortation, the word of God, on what I term begin again. Begin again. Begin again. It's one of the ways that you may need to adopt to handle this time. Let's quickly read from the book of James, the epistle of James, chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 7 to 12. The epistle of James, please turn with me to the epistle of James, chapter 5, and I'll quickly read from verses 7 to 12. It says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by the earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Begin again. We cannot overemphasize the truth. I call it the truth because it's gone beyond facts, that this time are difficult times. It is part of the difficult time. And I want to say that God can make it less difficult for each of us as individuals, as Christians. But I want you to know that globally, when you look at the plan of God for the end time, the truth is that God is winding up the universe bit by bit. And as far as I understand, globally, according to the plan of God, it may not get much better. It's true, as a Christian, God can work in your life, work in your family, work in your private setting. But when you look at God's plan, you need to brace up yourself for this time of adversity. It is a time of adversity. It is a time of affliction. It's a time of difficulty. It's a time of hardship.
It's a time of danger. And the tendency during this time is for some of us to quit our endeavors. And that is why the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I don't know whether some of us have read it. Some said, look, we just have to live with this virus. Scientists have said it. They said, we just have to live with it. They said, it's not going to go away. Yes, we are expecting the vaccine. We hope the vaccine will be available very soon. But we don't know what the consequences of the vaccine will be. It's a new virus. A lot of studies are going on. And if you have the vaccine, probably it will be like the flu vaccine that people take year after year. And every year it is reviewed, and maybe you have to take it again. So, brethren, it's true that the world may have to live with this virus. And we have entered what we call the new normal. So if you faint in this time of adversity, your strength is small. You must reject the temptation to be discouraged or to quit what you are doing to stay alive, what you are doing to stay happy, what you are doing to keep progressing. In spite of the virus being around, you must quit yourself like a man. As we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, he says, quit yourself as men. He says, watch, be steadfast in faith, be brave, be strong. Only the weak fail or quit when the going gets tough. And I want to ask you, how strong are you? How strong are you? God wants you to be strong. King Solomon here in Proverbs 24 verse 10 is encouraging us to a greater commitment and resolve by telling us not to quit, and that you can succeed, you can move forward, you can progress, God can still make you great in spite of this prevailing difficult time. One of the ways to handle this difficult time, or one of the things you may have to do, is to begin again. Beginning again implies that you had been at it, but you have had a stop. It could have been a catastrophic end, a catastrophic stop. You have come against a brick wall. And this can come to be in many ways in our lives. For some, it is an effort to get admission into a school. For some, it can be an effort to get married. Perhaps you've had many instances of being jilted, courtship cut short, disappointments in courtship and the like, and you have decided, no, I'm not going to go into it again. You don't trust any man again. You don't trust any woman again. It may be a time for you to begin again. Perhaps you've been trying to have the fruit of the womb, a child. You've tried and tried. Perhaps sometimes you get pregnant, and along the way you just find that it's what we call natural abortion. Perhaps you've done what you can, whatever you can do, and along the way you just find that you can't get through. Perhaps, and then you come, you say, no, I'm not going to try again. You and your husband, perhaps you don't even meet again. You have abandoned the natural process that God has put in place for you to procreate. You have become so discouraged. You have abandoned it. Perhaps it is time for you to begin again. I want you to know that only Jesus Christ came without the natural process of copulation that God has put there. Even Abraham, when he was going to have Isaac, he had to meet with his wife. As old as it was, yes, the hand of God was in it, but he had to meet with his wife. If you have packed it up as a spouse, as a couple, I want to let you know it's time to begin again, because God wants to meet with you. Perhaps you've tried to get into an organization for contracting. You've tried and tried and tried, and every time what you have is a no. Perhaps it's time to begin again. Perhaps you've been trying to get a scholarship to move forward in life. You don't have money to go to school. You've been applying for scholarship and it's not coming. You want to go overseas. Perhaps it's time for you to begin again. Do not give up. God wants to meet with you. God wants to restore all things unto you. Perhaps you are building a house. You have a project ongoing, but it has become so difficult. You cannot even find money to take care of yourself, let alone going to continue the project. God is saying, begin to make efforts again towards that. God wants to restore all things unto you. God doesn't want you to give up. I want us to look at the life of Job, the patriarch Job. Job lost everything. God gave everything that Job had. God gave it into the hand of Satan. I know Satan, as bad as he is, took everything from Job. Job lost his children. He lost his factory. The oxen and the donkeys, he lost his factory. He lost everything he had in the farm, all the sheep. Job lost everything. The only thing the devil didn't take from him was his wife. And the devil knew why he didn't take his wife from him. Because the devil wanted to use the wife as a pain in the flesh of Job. God wanted to use the wife to torment him. Satan wanted to use the wife to derail Job, so that Job would curse God and not serve God again. That was why the devil spared his wife. And true, the wife came and did what the devil wanted her to do, but she did not succeed. Eventually, the devil went to complain again. God said, I give you his body. And the devil went and afflicted Job with ill health. And what did Job do? Job did not curse God instead of that. So Job lost everything he had. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost every material thing that he could have. But what did God tell us about Job in Job chapter 42, verse 10? The Bible says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. How did God restore Job's losses? The Bible made us to know that the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning, for he had two times double of what he had before the losses. The Bible made us to know that he had seven sons, three daughters. His daughters were the most beautiful in the land. God brought restoration. How did God bring restoration to Job? Job had to begin again. Job had to invest again. And then God multiplied his reinvestment. I don't know how many wives Job had later. Maybe it is still that his wife or some other wives. How will Job have 7 other sons and 3 new daughters who are most beautiful in the land if Job did not start again? Job believed God. He started again, and God restored unto him all that he lost. Job exercised patience, as we read in our text, James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. He was very patient with God. He deliberately invested again. And as we are told, that the farmer waits patiently for the crop to mature. Job waited. Job took up courage again to progress, to move forward. And I want to say, God wants to do the same thing for you. Joel chapter 2 verse 25 says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust." The Bible says the locusts have eaten. If the locusts have eaten it, and God is going to restore it back to you, you have to plant again. You have to plant again. You need to begin again. Have you hung your harp? Take up your harp again. Are you discouraged in what you are doing? I want to ask you, believe the Lord and start again. Once you know that what you are doing is in the will of God, or what you are desiring is the will of God for your life, I want to tell you, don't give up. Don't let this difficult time or the difficulty you have been experiencing, don't let it hamper you. Begin again. And as you begin again, the Lord is going to restore the losses. The Lord is going to restore the lost years. The Lord is going to pick on you again. The heavens will open unto you again. The plan of the Lord for your life will come to be again. I want to tell you that God has a plan for you. And that plan is to bless your life. And the difficult time cannot stop God. Whatever losses you've had, if you will begin again, the Lord is going to meet with you. I want to sing just a verse of a song to illustrate God's plan for you. It says, "Your plan is still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You are with us in the fire and the flood. You are faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us." The plan of God for you is still to prosper you. God has not forgotten you. You may be in the fire now. You may be in the flood now. But God is there with you. God is faithful forever. God is perfect in love. Shall we pray? I don't know what your situation is. What do you need to pick up again? What have you abandoned that is the will of God for your life? Can you just talk to the Lord? Ask the Lord to give you courage, patience, to begin again. Trust the Lord to step into your situation and your circumstance to begin again. Start your investment again. Begin to write applications again. Begin to trust the Lord again.
Your plan is still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. He is faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.
Father, thank you because you are sovereign over us. Thank you for your plan to prosper us. Please help each of us to begin again, wherein your will for our lives seems to have been stopped. As we begin again, we trust you, Lord, even to prosper us. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.